Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a moment. Steve Jones Show sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you with insurance for life, health, home, auto, business. You can visit them online at purdyinsurance.com. You can also check them out in person.
Look, here's the bottom line. Okay, you're now free Friday night. Buhner and I have been talking about this. We have to make a decision.
Who we?
Buhner and myself. That's two. That's we.
The we referring to the two of you. I see.
In other words, the close-knit members of the group.
I see what you're saying. Yes, after watching yesterday at 11 a.m. on ESPNU, I am free on Friday and Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Well, I feel badly about that because, I mean, look, they led in that game. But you know what? With all due respect to the Bucknell kids, injuries have played a big role in them maybe missing a one loss. A lot of guys stepped up and played really well, but you lose your starting quarterback, you lose your starting tailback. A lot of teams have trouble overcoming that, and they brilliantly came very, very close to doing that.
See, that's what I had said after the game Saturday as well. I mean, you look at the injuries on that team, losing your starting safety as well early in the season for the entire season. There were a ton of injuries on that football team. You don't want to use that as an excuse, but the reality of it is there were a ton of injuries on that football team, and they still had a historic successful year. And we're still being talked about. We're still being talked about.
No question.
As part of the tournament.
No question. So this season for Joe Susan, as much as Saturday hurts, a remarkable success. Now, I know that, let's face it, people want to get to the Penn State subject. I assume they do.
I would think, yeah.
I mean, because I don't think Roger wants to talk about RG3 right now.
I would put money on that as well. Although I do thank RG3 for the numerous sacks for my 49ers fantasy defense for the week.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you listen to Greg Cosell and a couple of other people talk about how average he is. And I talked about this with the way they ran the offense last year, but, you know, he didn't have any mobility. They didn't throw any ball. 3-4 yards. The topic. Penn State football. Let's get to that. There's several areas I want to talk about this. Let's talk about the game part of it. Penn State wounded is still better than Illinois. And that was a tough loss because, in my mind, Penn State's level is still better than Illinois is. I talked about maybe 3-4 times during the broadcast about, look, you know, about letting a team hang around. Illinois kept hanging around, then had the lead and hanging around. And that becomes a very dangerous team because then they get that little sliver of confidence they're aching for. I've had a lot of people comment about, you know, You know, Bill O'Brien leaves. You know, think of, let's look at last year for 1 second. There was moments like Wisconsin at the end. That was a great moment, right? But they played at Indiana last year, and they lost big. This year they played at Indiana, they won. They played Ohio State at Ohio State last year and were run out. This year, at home, they went to overtime. Last year they played Illinois here. And Penn State had to drive late to tie it with a Sam Ficken field goal and then won in overtime. This time the game was out there and Illinois won. So it's not just the magic wand of one coach versus another coach here. It's just not. And, okay, were there certain moments in the game? The offside on special teams. Are you kidding me? That's the first time they've been called for a year, and he was offside. I mean, so I'm saying it's the kid's fault. That opened the door. And then, this is not, you know, and of course the bobble on the snap, on the field goal, that cost them three. So they could have had their opening two drives point in a two-score game against a team that I don't think can overcome a two-score deficit. So that hurt. Now, let's get to the part about the kickoff to start the second half. This is not Monday morning quarterbacking on my part in the least, because if you listen to the broadcast, what did Jack Hammond blatantly say three or four times before the ball was kicked? And I'm talking when the ball was, you know, because remember, we come back from halftime, and it's not, hey, they're kicking and here we go. We have a couple minutes there. And they came out and lined up. And what did we say, Kevin? Immediately we said, they're in the wrong spot. They should be up at the 15 or 20 because of the wind. And Jack, as we went through this conversation, even said, because Joe Putnam was the sideline reporter on Saturday, he said, Joe, go over and tell them they're too far back. This is before the kick, so this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. We knew, and that was a mistake, and it cost them 3 points in a game they lost by two.
Well, you had used part of... We were vehement.
Okay?
Well, you used part of Coach Franklin's comments in the postgame just a few moments ago in your Penn State show, the... Inside Penn State Athletics, and you know, he was rather blunt about the whole game in general. I mean, he didn't hide anything.
Yes.
He didn't hold back. He was rather blunt and to the point about how he felt.
Well, he was, and he should have been. Were there offensive mistakes? Yes. Did they waste a 137-yard rushing effort? Yes. Did they break it? You know, did they? Did Akil, though, you know, could have had more? Because if Akil is able to beat the safety a couple times, he's got a couple other big runs, and he didn't do it. Offensively, they gave up a drive at the end of the first half, aided by that penalty, and they gave up a drive at the end of the game. And they've had on this defense all year, and it's, you know, the same thing happened in the Maryland game. So, disappointment there. Defense also didn't get a takeaway in the game. Zero takeaways against a team that came in minus seven on the year. Zero takeaways. And by the way, were they prepared for Riley O'Toole? I can tell you in no uncertain terms, absolutely. Absolutely they were prepared for Riley O'Toole. That wasn't even an issue. They worked on that phase of the game all week. Oh, if you're wondering, oh, you know, they went from the throwing quarterback to the guy that can move. I mean, you know, it didn't look like they were. No, no. They worked on it all week. In fact, they worked more on that, believe it or not, than they did on the pass game. Now, the one criticism I would have, the two criticisms of the defense would be, A, no takeaways, and B, I know he's in the slot and off the line of scrimmage, but you still have to get physical and jam Dudek at the line of scrimmage. You still have to. So, there it is in a nutshell. Now, for the criticism of the coaching staff, mean, that's the game. That's the game in a nutshell. I just talked about the game. If this happened in year four and not game 11, criticism would be valid, and we could sit here and we could talk about on open phone lines what the deal happens to be. Okay? But this is game 11. James Franklin, Bob Shoup, John Donovan, the entire coaching staff. Like any coaching staff, are they going to coach a perfect game? No, of course not. But at the same time, they need, instead of filling gaps, what they've had to do this year, give them a full opportunity to have the program be shaped in their image, where they have scholarships like everybody else. A question that did not make it to air, and I wish it had. Roger did not ask this question to us, because we heard Kyle Gardner at Jefferson City. They're relaying the question from a phone call, and I can't remember for the life of me who sent it in. But they asked, when do you expect Penn State to be essentially on an even playing field with everybody else? And I was going to say maybe by the end of year three, probably year four. That was the answer I would have given. Because these things take time. You do not waive it, because let's take next year, for example. Next year, they'll probably have in the neighborhood of about 80 scholarship players. 42 of them are either going to be redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. 42 out of 80. Day on Saturday isn't going to take long. I sat down yesterday with Christian Hackenberg and was talking about the seniors. And I did this for a TV interview. And I said, let's talk about the seniors on offense. And the offense happened to be Bill Belton, who had to sit out the second half of the game, hurt. Zach Zwinak, who's been out for a few games, hurt. Miles Diefenbach, who missed most of the season, hurt. And the fourth seniors, Darren Thompson. Those are your four seniors on offense. Repeating once again, Miles Diefenbach, Zach Zwinak, Bill Belton, and Darren Thompson. Not a long list. And a lot of missed games this year. Have you thought about it in those terms? Senior Day is not going to take long. Like I said, if some of these things happened in 11 of the fourth year, I think we could all sit back and I'd open up the phone lines and say, hey, let her rip. Let's hear what you have to say about all this. But not in game 11 of a transition in a sanction-riddled program that's trying to bounce itself back. It's not an untalented group, no doubt about that. They have talent. In fact, I still maintain, and this is what bothers me about Saturday, that Penn State's talent with its 60 guys is better than Illinois' talent at 85. That's what bothers me.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They take care of all your insurance needs. We always love being associated with first-class businesses, and Purdy Insurance is the definition of that. They will take great care of you. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. A little bit later, Kevin will tell us what he's driving this week on Thanksgiving week. As I'm sure Kevin gives thanks to being a part of the show because that allows him to drive these great cars.
I give thanks to just knowing you. Did that sound genuine?
And obviously, we're also brought to you by the Irish blend of Folgers Coffee. All right, let's bring in Tony and Shamokin. Hi, Tony. How are you? Great to have you with us.
Good, good. The Irish blend. That was a good one.
Thank you, Tony.
The bottom line is, it was Illinois. Worst defense in the country.
Yep.
I mean, and I watched that Dudek. He's a pretty good ball player. But he's open. He's open. And our Penn State's receivers, they never seem to get that separation. I don't know.
Agreed.
If it's the plays, the routes. I just don't get it. But I'll have to
Go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just have to say, Steve, you did nail it at halftime. Now, whose job is it on the coaching staff to notice that the kickoff receiving team was back too far? It's not the announcer's job.
Well, I know it's not Jack's job or my job. I mean, but we did. It wasn't as we made a casual point of it.
Oh, I know. You've mentioned it more than once.
Yeah.
Remember
the game 1979, Jim Kelly's first start?
Down at Miami, yes, I do.
Game was at Beaver Stadium. And Kelly took them down the field, took the kickoff, drove downfield, kicked the field goal, scored. Right?
Yep.
Kicked off. Same thing. Fell between Tony Mumford and Bruce Clark. And Miami recovered, got a touchdown. Penn State didn't have the ball and was down 10-0. That kick, before they kicked it, all I was envisioning was it was going to land in no man's land, and it was going to be recovered by Illinois. That's all I kept picturing before he kicked it.
And what else I can remember about that game is how hard the Penn State defense played. And once again, I mean, but I get this feeling this year's defense is starting to get tired.
Could be.
You can't be out there three and out every time. And how much they miss Brenneman. I think they miss him more than we think.
You know, I think that's really good point. You know what, Tony? I think that's a really good point, and I do agree with you that the versatility of Brenneman, lining him up in the slot, lining him outside, using him as a wing, I agree with you. I think that he has been a missed individual all year. I probably talked to Adam for about 10 to 15 minutes on Tuesday last week. He is doing very, very well. He has bounced back nicely.
But that no matter what, though, that's always going to be on his mind.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it'll bother him, but it'll always be on his mind. But, you know, the season is playing out pretty much like most of us expected, and you got to give the guys a lot of credit. And I think they're going to finish up. I mean, I'm eternal optimist. They're going to finish up with a big win next week.
Hey, but if they do that, that'd be great. It would be great for
them,
especially.
It would be great, and it shoves it in a lot of people's faces.
Well, yeah, I know. It's the way they've arrived at 6-5. I think that a lot of people had unrealistic expectations. Again, you're still operating behind the eight ball because it's designed to be that way. And I think I always have to keep reminding myself of that as well. So,
I loved your comment. R45 is better than R80, and I agree with that.
Yep. I firmly
it was
believe
still
that.
Only 45.
Right, but that's what bothers me about that game. I still believe Penn State's 45 is better than their 85.
And
it didn't work
worst
out.
Defense in the country. And according to Matt Millen, Illinois had a great offense. I mean, oh my God. Well, I ain't going to say no more. All right, I like Penn State, but you have to listen to his broadcast. All right, listen, have a good day and big win this week.
Tony, Millen was in the booth with Jack and me for about 20 minutes before the game. Believe me. I listen to Matt a lot.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Have a good day, guys.
Bye. You bet. Joe Susan now joins us, the head coach of the Bucknell Bison. Joe, welcome. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us today. Appreciate it very much. When it is very tough to look back, you know, because obviously it's a game you wanted badly on Saturday. How many teams, though, can lose their starting quarterback, lose their starting tailback, and still have a fighting chance in every game down the stretch?
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. It's a statement to the, obviously, to the young men that we put in there, Trey Loletta, Matt Del Muro, and what's unique about both of those players is they were both hampered on Saturday as well, and there are no excuses. We actually had five opportunities, three of them over top the defense, which in previous games we've been fortunate to convert on, that we didn't convert on. And when you have those opportunities at creating, especially against a defense that plays with, they face you. They're not, you know, they're zone eyes, so they know what's going on. But when you get over the top, if you don't convert on them, it makes all the other drives hard. And Trey didn't have his running ability as he has had previously, and it caught up to us in some of the sacks. But, you know, you come away from the season, I usually have a 24-hour rule, and that one stuck with me for a little bit because I would have liked to have sent this group into what they do next with a win, but when you look back at it, 8-3, playing in three overtime games, playing against some adversity, it's really a statement to how these young men have handled this season. And there's emptiness at the end of the day, though. You know, you get into a flow of, okay, today's first and second down, but no, it's not. It's get ready to go on the road recruiting, and
right.
I'd rather it be first and second down, but I still love recruiting as well.
Do you feel like this season changed your margin of error?
I believe that it did. And what I think led the way we ended last season and the statement we've made this season, Bucknell's not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. And that's the way I want it, though. I want to play people and beat people at their best. And when we looked at our depth chart this morning as a staff, having those 23 seniors move along, you lose some maturity. But we have some very talented younger players. And then with the way recruiting is going now, that influx will give us a chance to continue to improve. And we do a major self-study. I've actually started that already. And from a schematic standpoint, what we adapt, what we change. And sometimes if it's not broke, break it, and you might build it up again to what it was, but you might change just something minor that makes it better. And we will do that. We're fortunate that our staff understands that's the way we do it. And the unique thing about recruiting at this level too is that we're gonna emphasize 16s when we go out the next couple of weeks because we're basically finished with 15s, and
right.
That's exciting. And I can't say much more about that by NCAA regulations, but the young men that we are recruiting, that we'll continue to recruit, understand what we're trying to do with this program, and you know, they've bought into our vision, which is exciting. And I had three of them in my locker or in the locker room after the game, and I told them that, you know, you think this is a weight off your shoulders, I'm putting that weight right back on your shoulders. We got to get it done, because ultimately at this level in the FCS football, it's about league championships and playoffs. And there's a team from our league that's going to the playoffs, and we're not one of them.
But you've also now put yourself into a conversation where people look at Bucknell football differently than they did 7 or 8 years ago. Do you feel as if you have laid a foundation? Because if you're talking with 16s, that's where you need to be, and maybe even talking a little bit with 17s.
Correct.
That kind of foundation is something that's so important, where you're playing now from ahead instead of trying to play catch-up.
That is so important, and it's a tribute to the support we get from our administration and our admissions and the coaching community. The high school coaching community has been outstanding in terms of, and I think a lot of it's, I've been at this 37 years, and I've recruited basically everywhere, and I have ties with those guys. They actually change jobs more than we do, but it gives us a chance to stay ahead of the recruiting, and it'll transition from, you know, obviously finishing up the class of 15, but into the class of 16, junior days, bring them to spring practice, then they come into camp, and you know, it has become, unfortunately for them, it's become a, they only do it once, we do it every year. It's become a process that everything happens so quickly, and you know, that's the way it is, though, and we have to stay attuned to the pace and try to take advantage of it. The experience I had recruiting at Rutgers has really helped in terms of that process, the pace of the process, and we do a lot of things very similar, obviously within the parameters of what we can do at Bucknell, but we do a lot of things very similarly in terms of starting out with a big pool, but personalizing it ultimately. And I think that's the important thing about recruiting. You want to make that young man feel like he's the only guy you're recruiting. And you develop a relationship with him. You develop a relationship with his family. You develop a relationship with his coach. And that's got to be a relationship of trust, because they're not getting any older, these 16, 17-year-olds. I think they're getting younger. It's just the way the world is. And I ask, how many of them have ever worked in a factory? And I worked in two before I went to college, and the good thing is they paid me. And, you know, there's certain products that I wouldn't eat knowing the factory I worked in, but I'm not going to say that on the air.
Well, I welded, so yep. I know.
I got one better on both of you. I made sweaters. Beat that one.
Sweaters. Yeah, he made sweaters with like three arms. Yeah. It's like the Adams Family sweaters.
I didn't say it was good at it. I said I made them. I
believe on QVC they have that in the Kevin Herr collection.
That's right. All right. It's very unique.
So they got a little emblem with Kevin on it, huh? Not a
Joe,
little emblem.
No, can't be. Joe, whenever a guy takes over a program, that's your first team, your second team, and they become your players, and you love those players, and you forever have a bond with them because they're your first couple of teams and got you started. But at the same time, you also have a personal vision of what your positional balance should be on your roster. 9 times out of 10, the positional balance from one coach to another is different. Have you now started to achieve the positional balance that you idealistically want on your roster, and will the 15 and 16 classes be steps in that direction?
We have. One of the first things that we did when we got here is we, because of the offense that we run, we had to build up the size and strength of our offensive line, and we did that. Right. And, you know, the other thing that we've done successfully, and unfortunately three of them are graduating, is build up the tight end position. And we're, you know, that's one of our focal points because you do so many different things with those players. We put all the emphasis, the major emphasis, on defense, and our defense led the league in total defense this year, and hopefully we continue to do that. But part of our part of the way we defend people is keep their offense off the field with time of possession. We have specific positional needs, and we have to take care of them selectively because different than the FBS level, where you go out each year with the potential of taking 25,
right.
We can take 15, and we got to be right with those 15. The margin of error there is very narrow, and it's a tribute to our coaches. It's a tribute to how we evaluate players. And we evaluate them way beyond their academics and their film. It's more who they are. And I think that's an important thing, and continuing to build a program that'll – I always said this, that you want to build it on a rock so that it lasts. And, you know, then you got to watch those kids walk down the aisle with their diploma 4 years later. Just – but that's the nature of the beast and – know, the rite of passage that these guys have, and that's you mentioned it, the relationships. It's unique because there are 50-year-olds that still call me coach, and it's unique to have that as a privilege. And you know, there are guys that I coach that I'm going to have the chance to coach their sons, and when you can get that level of trust, then might be doing something right.
Well, you are, and believe me, I may not call you coach, but I call you friend. And
thank you.
Again, great appreciation for all the time you've given us this season. I hope you, I know it takes time out of your day, but I hope you enjoyed the talks as much as
I do.
Thanks so much.
I really enjoy Kevin bothering me in pregame. It's a pleasant distraction from being wound up during pregame, and I you know, both you guys are professional. I love the way you do your work, and you know, one of these days, hopefully, we have a chance to spend some time together looking each other in the eye.
Joe, I'm telling you one thing right now. I learn more in those conversations than I have in years of following football.
I just tell Kevin, the wind's blowing from that direction. Oh, it is.
Oh, is that what that is? Is that what those streamers are for? Yeah.
And now
thank you, guys.
You know,
have a great Thanksgiving. You know, and everybody that's listening, have a great Thanksgiving.
You have a great Thanksgiving as well. Thanks, Joe.
Take care. Goodbye.
And now he knows what I go through on an everyday basis, Kevin.
Listen, some of those conversations, pregame, halftime, end of game, are some of the best conversations we have.
You know,
I enjoy every minute with that man.
I cannot begin to tell you how lucky I think Bucknell is to have Joe. You know, this is a highly intelligent, caring individual. He's not just a one-dimensional guy. Some guys are disciplinarians. That's their deal. Some guys are outgoing and, you know, they shake every hand in the room. Others, you know, he is as well-rounded sense of humor, football intelligence, common sense, instinct, player relationships, handle on the game, style of play. He is about as well-rounded an individual and coach. Bucknell's very lucky. I'd say the same thing about Dave Paulson, too. You know how much I like Dave. So, all right, we'll come back with more in a moment. 800-795-9565 as we continue on Thanksgiving week. That call up. Tell us how thankful you are to have Kevin on the show. Great to have you with us. We've had the phone lines open for 45 minutes in the Let's Be Thankful for Kevin Herr Hour. And the lines are still open. Give us a call. Toll free. 800-795-9565. Won't cost you a dime. And if you're thankful for Kevin, give us a call.
Thanksgiving week.
My kid's at home and he's not even calling. What does that say?
He called me, which was really nice.
You mean he said more than, hi, Mr. Jones?
He said, I'm very thankful that you're working with my father. That was very kind. I'm sure maybe the lines are out.